Every day I'm hustling. 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 Every day I'm. Every day I'm. Every day I'm hustling.
Guys, welcome back to Jules on the Hustle. So this week, we have a very special guest, Ben Dornboss, because he's actually a boss, a boss from Michigan. And I'm very excited to have him because he's a true tennis lover, has followed, you know, all these incredible tournaments from the lower pro level tournaments to the high level WTA events to the Grand Slams. He's a diehard tennis fan and also a player, and he's just very passionate about tennis, and I thought I would have him on the podcast to talk some tennis, talk some marathon running, because as you all know, I am training for my marathon. That's going to be in November, the New York City Marathon. I'm super pumped for that. Like, that is the thing I'm training for now. And it's literally another full-time job on top of my actual full-time job. And it's just giving me like a reason to work hard, like fitness-wise. And for me, like, I like having something to train for. So this has been great for me to motivate me to work out and stay in shape. Because after, you know, you play tennis and you don't have any tournaments coming up, you kind of lose that drive and motivation. So I'd like to plug in here that I ran a half marathon yesterday. I am so happy. I was pretty happy with my time. I ran a little over 2 hours. I read like the average time is 2 hours, but I'm not mad about going a little over 2 hours. I'm hoping like I can improve my speed as I keep training. And you know, like I'm not a long distance runner. Like I have a lot of muscle in my leg from like tennis. I'm used to like doing a lot of sprinting in tennis, so I'm not mad about that time. But anyway, enough about me. We have Ben Dornboss on this week's episode, and I'm very excited for you guys to hear. So hope you enjoy. So I'm not gonna butcher your name because it's Ben Dornboss, right?
You got it.
How can you say it for me?
Dornboss.
Dornboss. Okay, so literally Ben Dornboss. What do yeah. most people say?
Oh, it's been all over the board, you know, growing up. You know, it's usually Dornbos or Dornbush or the best is doorknobs, you know, obviously. But I mean, it's funny because I'd always correct people when they said like Dornbus, and I'm like, no, it's Dornboss. And then when I went to the Netherlands, because I'm Dutch family heritage, they're like, oh, Dornbos, and I'm like, yeah. So I don't correct people anymore when they say Dornbos, because that's how the Dutch pronounce it.
So it's Dornbos.
Dornbos, yeah.
Bos. So before I did the Instagram shout out, I actually went on to Google, like I Googled how to pronounce his last name. And I don't remember what I said, but the way I said it was how they told me to pronounce it. What did I say?
I'm trying to think. I think you said like Dornbos. I think you might have said just like Dornbos.
Oh gosh.
I mean, you didn't butcher it. I just didn't want you to say like doorknobs, I guess.
That's all. Yeah, no. So Ben Dornboss from Michigan.
Yes.
You said Grand Rapids?
No, I'm from Midland, here in Midland, right. Michigan. Yep.
I didn't know if Grand Rapids was like a nearby city.
Yeah, no, it's the second largest city in Michigan. It's about 2 hours southwest of Midland.
Very cool. We met at the Midland 100K. It's only a women's event, right? There's no men's there.
Right. And actually I was a year late because I think you came in 2018 and I was at the 2019 event. So I think we were a year late actually meeting, so I don't think we've ever actually met in person.
Okay.
I just found your podcast and started following your podcast and really enjoyed your commentary. So yeah.
Wait, I could have sworn. Okay, so then I met someone that looks exactly like you in 2018.
Maybe we didn't. I just didn't realize it. So
maybe I could have sworn that we met. Are you saying you said you weren't there in 2018 watching the matches?
Right. Correct. Correct.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Okay. Well, there was someone else there that was also a great supporter of my matches. So, but hey, I'm glad we were able to connect.
Yeah.
So have you been going to that tournament ever since 2019?
So how that came about was I started working there the summer of 2018 as a director of business, their kind of business director. And then I knew the Dauch Tennis Classic had always been hosted by the tennis center forever. I actually went there 1 year. I think it was 2009. I was working for a credit union and they had a booth there. But 2019 was my first real hands-on experience. And for 1 week, you know, I got to have the best job in the world. You know, it was so much fun, you know, because I really hadn't really been around tennis live at all in my life. You know, I didn't grow up playing tennis. I played baseball and basketball. So when I started at the tennis center and started, you know, seeing tennis, you know, every day, you know, I'm like, oh yeah, you know, they're pretty good, you know, amateurs, you know, that are members, you know, and stuff like that. And then the Dauch Tennis Classic happened and I'm like, this is a whole new ball game.
Yeah. I obviously from New York, I came to that tournament loving that it was indoor hard courts. So like growing up, I've always played on really quick indoor hard courts. So this was like my bread and butter. And also I'm sure, you know, Robin Anderson.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
She won the event. I think last year she also grew up on the indoor hard courts. So we both like thrive. And I'm sure you saw my Instagram, Jamie Loeb, another girl I grew up with. We love those indoor hard courts. So we're very happy about that event. Obviously I haven't played in many years now, but doesn't mean it can't happen again in the future.
Yeah. I was hoping I would get to see, you know, if not 2019, 2020, you know, but obviously you've kind of had a different path in your life right now, but that's okay. But yeah, you know, I've got to meet a lot of those girls, you know, Jamie, Robin, you know, Quinn Gleason, and then 2019, you know, we had some big names, you know, come, Coco Gauff was there.
Wow.
Jessica Pegula, you know, really like, amazing. Really has always enjoyed that tournament. So yeah, you know, you get to, you know, meet a lot of these up and comers and, you know, 3 years later, they're now ranked in the top 10, top 20. And that's just what's been so amazing, you know, being able to follow them is you see these girls, you know, when they're, you know, ranked 100 and above and, you know, playing ITF events and now they're headlining WTA, you know, 500 and 1000 events, you know, so, and making quarterfinals and semifinals at the Grand Slam. So it's really, really cool to see, you know, how they progress in their careers.
Definitely. I mean, how cool is that? Like you see them right before they kind of just, you know, win every match. Look at Iga, like she's doing insanely well. In 2019 or 2018, before I kind of slowed down playing, she was playing the same tournaments as me. We were like in, I remember in Charleston, South Carolina, she was playing a singles match next to my singles match. And I mean, well, she's been doing incredibly well. It's so impressive to follow her and just like to see how well she's doing. Since you've seen some of these players like Iga, or not Iga, you said Jessica Pegula, Coco Gauff, do you notice anything different in their game now than maybe you saw when you watched them in Midland?
To be honest, you know, I was so busy in 2019, you know, behind the scenes, I didn't get a lot of opportunities to watch their matches, unfortunately.
No, definitely. Sorry, I didn't mean to pull like a, give me an analysis of their games.
But I mean, I'm just, you know, Coco, for instance, you know, I mean, she was 14 going on 15 when she came to the Dauch Tennis Classic. And, you know, I did get to catch a little bit of her matches and it's just, I mean, it's amazing how hard, you know, she can strike the ball, you know, at such a young age. And, you know, that power is only going to get more and more, you know, intense, you know, as she as she grows older. So, but I mean, I definitely have seen, you know, changes in some of these girls' games. I mean, like Jill Teichman is one player I follow really closely. She was in 2019 and she struggled a lot, I think, in the hard courts, you know, that year, but then really broke it out in into 2020, 2021. And now, you know, she's in the top 20. She was 147, I think, when she was at the Dow Tennis Classic. So that's just one example, you know, I see, you know, where the girls, you know, really, you know, step their game up, you know, when they're not so used to playing on hard courts, you know, and they prove everybody wrong, you know, and, you know, they can transition eventually, you know, to the hard court.
Yeah, what a lot of people don't realize is there's such like a fine line between, you know, the players playing at the 100K at the Dow Jones Classic and the people playing in the Grand Slams. Like, honestly, the difference is confidence, in my opinion, because as you get up in the rankings and you play more matches, like you get more confident and maybe you become more consistently great, whereas you have less ups and downs. That's like, those are the biggest differences, in my opinion. Like, you have the game, like those girls that play in that 100K, like everyone is unbelievable and they can beat the top 10 girls, but it's just, you know, confidence for one and just consistently showing up at that high level. So that's something a lot of people don't realize. And I think it's really cool that you get to kind of see like the before and after.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, definitely.
So I want to know, how did you, since you said you didn't grow up playing tennis, play basketball and baseball, how did you find your love for tennis?
Well, I mean, so I do remember, you know, growing up, you know, catching, you know, like matches between Andre Agassi and Pete Sampras. I think those were probably the matches I watched the most when I was growing up. And then, I think I really started getting into tennis probably about 2000, 2002-ish, kind of when the Williams sisters were just starting to do their thing and start to dominate the game. You know, I was 18, 19 at the time. So of course, you know, I was a big fan of Anna Kournikova. So I followed her a lot. And I actually got to see her play in Grand Rapids when I was going to, I graduated from college and she was playing a charity event there with, John McEnroe, and it was Anna Kournikova. And I forgot who the other two players were, but that was that was a really cool experience. You know, John McEnroe did his thing where he got all amped up and stuff like that. So that was fun to watch. And
that's
then,
awesome.
So that was 2006. So yeah, it was 13 years later. That's when my love for tennis really came, working at the tennis center, you know, being around the game, and then being a part of the Dow Tennis Classic took it to a whole new level. And that's when it was probably about, August of 2019 after the Dow Tennis Classic, where I finally got the time to step on the court and actually hit the ball. And when I hit that first really good forehand, you know, I just felt that adrenaline just surge through my body and I just didn't want to stop playing. So, I was, you know, taking lessons for a long time and I was getting really good. And, unfortunately, I haven't been able to get on the court in the past couple of months. The tennis instructor that I had, he moved on to college. He took a different path too. So, but I've got a coworker who's a former tennis instructor. We play a lot. So we still get on the court every once in a while. But yeah, 2019 was definitely that kind of when the passion really kicked in.
That's great. And what's awesome about tennis is that you could play it at any age, you know, whether you pick it up when you're young or when you're 90, it's a sport for everyone. And I loved what you said about the adrenaline, because that's something I'm still trying to find in my life off the tennis court that I haven't found it yet, but I've had glimpses of it in my reporting career. I'd say the most adrenaline I get in reporting is interviewing, you know, someone that wins a huge event. Like, I got to interview Bianca Andreescu after she won the US Open. So that was one of my adrenaline highs. And then some of the other highs I get are like, if I'm writing a breaking news article on like whatever sport, I get glimpses of like, ooh, this is awesome, stuff like that. But it's hard to find like that winning high or that adrenaline rush just from like being out in the sun competing. So I'm looking for it. It's rough. Once you know, you go from tennis, it's hard to find anything else that matches that passion and right. intensity. So I'm not done with tennis. I'm definitely coming back. I mean,
that's good.
I'm definitely, the door has not closed. What would you say is your favorite part of the game, whether it's like just playing or watching?
Well, you know, definitely watching, you know, the competition that you see, you know, at WTA, ATP levels is just insane. And especially on the guys, yeah. The guy side, you know, going through life, I always said, you know, the toughest thing to probably do in sports is hit 100-mile-an-hour fastball. And then I changed that opinion. And I said, no, the toughest thing to do in sports is hit 140 is put 140 mile serve back in play.
Oh, yes. Yes. No, I know what you're saying. Wow.
I mean, it's just incredible. You know, you see that serving power, just like, I can't even return a 60 mile an hour serve. I can't even imagine returning a 130 mile an hour serve. So, and just, you know, the determination and just the effort that you see these players put in, you know, day in and day out is just incredible. I don't know if you caught the Strasbourg final between Angie Kerber and Katja Juven, but that match was insane. And I thought the best match of the year so far. I mean, both sets went to the tie break and they just put in everything they had. And, you know, Angie, you know, as old as she is, you know, to see her, you know, put in that much effort and be able to go that long is quite incredible.
Yeah, I really admire Angie as a player. I love how low she gets on the court. Her back knee is literally touching the court as she hits forehands and backhands. I know she's a lefty, right?
Yep.
When I think of her, I see her just really low on the court using her legs because she's not a tall player. So she has to use the power from her legs. And yes, like I love with tennis, like how there's so many forms of players. You have those really tall and maybe a little slower players like the Pliskova sisters. And then you have like the shorter players. I'm thinking of like Kerber, and I don't know if you know Dominika Cibulkova. She hasn't played in a while. She retired. But these girls, well, Dominika was she is like 5'2", and she's like a powerhouse using her legs. And it's so cool to see how talent comes in all different shapes and sizes. And then on the men's side, you know, Nadal is jacked. And then, you know, Djokovic is looking skinnier than ever. So it's so cool to just see all these varieties of players.
Right. Yeah. I really got a kick out of, Schwartzman and
Isner,
yeah, playing doubles together. That was really cool to see. You know, you got one guy who's more than a foot taller than the other guy.
Do you know how tall Schwartzman is?
I think Schwartzman's 5'5", yeah, and Isner's 6'10".
So I'm Schwartzman's height. Well, at least I pretend I'm more like 5'4", but that with heels, I'm taller. I just remember seeing this on social media and I was like, this is awesome. The high fives must have been awkward, like low five and then like to a high five.
It's just funny to see those pictures of them, right next to each other on the court.
Definitely. Did you enjoy watching the French Open? Were you surprised at all with any of the results, or did they meet your expectations?
I really enjoyed watching it. I mean, my favorite player is Jill Teichman, you know, one that I got to meet at the Dow Tennis Classic. And, you know, she's a good clay court player and kind of waiting to break out on the clay scene, I think, in the French Open. She kind of did that. She was just one match away from the quarterfinal. So I was really, you know, happy to see her, you know, make a lot of progress there, because I think she hadn't won in the main draw at the French Open yet in her career. So it was good to see that. And I'm just, you're testing my memory here. I know it was only 2 weeks ago.
No, that's okay. It's just funny. Like you kind of forget everything because there's always a tournament. What did you think of having like Novak and Nadal in the quarterfinals? And then it kind of just like, of course, Nadal and Zverev was a great match until that unfortunate ending. Then that final was just like the big, not, I hate to say it, but kind of was like a big letdown.
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible seeing what Nadal is still doing. I mean, I'm of the big three, I think I'm a Roger Federer fan, so I'm kind of disappointed that Roger's career is probably over. I mean, I want him to come back, but I just don't think it's going to happen for him. But
he announced he was coming back.
I just mean, you know, if he's, I mean, if he's like going to be able to get to, you know, the finals like Nadal has been able to at the Australian Open and the French Open, but that's just incredible, you know, to, you know, get his 24th title and kind of separate himself from Djokovic and Federer. What is it, like 14 or 15 French Open titles now for him?
Yeah, I should know this off the top of my head, but like you said, it felt like a while ago. I think that was the 14th French Open and then 22nd Grand Slam title, and Novak and Federer have 20. So now he's two ahead. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting. And then you heard about the Serena news today.
Yeah, I did catch that on all the Facebook feeds.
Oh,
so,
it's all over. It's all over. If you have a Twitter, if you have an Instagram, you know she's coming back to Wimbledon and she got a wild card. So, I mean, I don't see her winning the tournament. I don't even see her. I mean, I don't even know if I see her making like the semifinals. I think she'll fall maybe quarterfinals. We'll have to see the draw.
Yeah. And I think it too, to, you know, I mean, if how her conditioning is, you know, I don't know, you know, if she's been, you know, training or working out or just wants to, you know, make the appearance just to, you know, keep the fans happy, you know, and just see how she does. But yeah, I mean, obviously it's great to have her back on court for the game, you know, and a lot of fans will love seeing her again. So we'll see how she does. She could surprise a lot of people, but me personally, I mean, I don't see her going that far, but who knows?
Same. I think it's clutch that Wimbledon got her to come, and I'm wondering, is it even legal to play to pay a player individually to come to a tournament like at that level? I'm not sure, to make like an appearance, but like now with no ranking points, people were saying that maybe the tournament would draw less fans, and it's definitely drawing less players. Like, I don't know if Osaka decided to play or not. I know she was on the fence. But then, who was the player that said it will feel like, Osaka said it would feel too much like an exhibition Wimbledon. And I'm like, I don't know about that, but okay.
I think the prestige is still there. And I mean, obviously, I think the money's still there. I mean,
They increased it. They increased it. It's a record. I just wrote an article about this. It's a record. It's not for the winner, it's a record, but apparently like just spread out
the total purse.
The total purse is a record. So clearly haven't been doing this much. Need to brush up my podcasting skills. He's taking me back. You're taking me back into podcasting. Thank you. Yeah, so we'll see who actually comes to the tournament. I do think Serena playing is going to be really good for the All England Club and making sure their fans show up. They were going to come anyway.
Yeah.
But
when the first entry list came out, all the names that unfortunately, you know, the Russians and Belarusians won't be there, but every other name that wasn't a Russian or Belarusian was on there. So I think, and even Osaka's name was, but you know, we'll see how it goes, you know, when we get a little bit closer. But I was actually quite surprised, you know, when that first list came out and all those names were on there. So obviously they still want to play it. So yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. And of course also not seeing Zverev on there, because he got hurt. That was a nasty fall he took. He was playing amazing. Besides, his serve gets a little shaky, but I totally feel for him, because my second serve was very unpredictable as well. I did not love my second serve at all. I definitely, if I was nervous, that was the shot that broke down. Rack up those double faults. Good times. It's embarrassing. I want to step away from tennis a little bit and talk about running a little bit. So Ben was so kind to, you know, not only, you know, support my run, my marathon training that, and my marathon is in November, in New York City, November 6th. But you also told me that you're running your own half marathon. Did it happen yet?
It did. It happened over Memorial Day weekend.
Oh, and how was it? Were you happy with how it went?
I was a little disappointed in my results. I didn't reach my goal, but I finished the race. So
great.
I mean, my biggest fear, you know, was, you know, cramping up and all the terrible things that can come with cramping up and running. So it didn't happen, but
yeah,
I didn't make the time that I was hoping for, but it was a gorgeous, gorgeous day, you know, up in northern Michigan. I think it was like start of the race time was like 50 degrees. So
oh my gosh,
it was perfect for me, and the sun was out all day. You know, you're running along, you know, Grand Traverse Bay, you know, pretty much the whole time. So if you know, you get a beautiful scene. So it was still a good time.
Wow, that's still awesome that you were able to finish it. Tomorrow I'm running my first half marathon for my training. I've run a little bit less than half a mile, so half of a half marathon, but I'm going to do my half marathon tomorrow, and I'm going to wake up super early because New York has been so hot, so, so hot. I mean, 80s and extremely humid. So I'm thinking about waking up at 5, eating some oatmeal, banana, not too much coffee, little coffee, because sometimes I feel like my heart goes too fast. I get a little shaky, so okay. Very little coffee. Bring my running belt that has some, have you heard of Liquid IV?
Yes, I have.
You probably have seen it on my social media as well. Liquid IV, water, strap it on, use my anti-chafer around my waist so I don't chafe. I'm not only just telling you this, but it's just a little bit of me to remember what I have to do tomorrow.
You got your checklist.
This is my checklist that I'm just making you live through right now. Yeah, so I'm super pumped. Again, like, I just want to finish it. I don't have any times that I want to meet. You know, with tennis, like, I don't think you've seen me in person. My legs are very strong. I'm short, so I have to be strong. And so I was always not the long distance runner. So this was a challenge, like 100% a challenge. Whenever I was in college, we were doing track workouts. I was always last in the long distance runs, but in the sprints, miles ahead of everyone else. So this, as it is, was, you know, a great challenge for me. And I'm just like hoping to finish it. I have no time. I just want to make it back for work in time. That's my only time goal.
But yeah, it's incredible when you see these marathon runners, you know, and the first batch comes, you know, running past you, and then they eventually pass you when you're running the half marathon, because they're sprinting at like 15 miles an hour. They've got like bionic legs, I swear. It's just amazing what these what these runners are capable of.
No, totally. And there's just like so many things, like, I'm still learning about running, like what I should be eating while I run, when I should eat it, when I should take a sip. Do I walk while I sip, or am I supposed to run? It is a whole other sport than tennis, obviously, but there's these little tricks that I'm trying to learn, and hopefully I'll have it all down before November. Yeah. But
just don't do the Michael Scott thing and eat a big bowl of fettuccine Alfredo before. That's all you got to remember.
Oh, the morning of?
That Office episode where Michael Scott runs the 5K event and he carbo loads and eats the big bowl of fettuccine Alfredo beforehand, and then.
I haven't seen The Office. I know you're a okay. Seinfeld guy.
I am. Yeah. Seinfeld, big Seinfeld and Office fan. But that's whenever I think of running in marathons. Yeah. I always go back to that Office episode with the 5K race.
A 5K. And that's just what, 3 miles, a little over 3 miles.
Yeah. Yeah. That's nothing.
That is not, but yeah, no, fettuccine Alfredo is definitely not the way to go. That's too funny.
Is your, so your best is that the 12 mile, that's what your best is right now?
Yes, that is my best so far. Yeah.
You still got several months. You're going to make it. You're going to do great.
Thank you. I have my whole plan right here. The one I sent you. There we go. Here, this is up to week 18. And then this is the rest. This is, takes me all the way to week 32, which is race day. And so I am right now on week 16. So this week I have 4, 4, 4, and then 13 miles.
Okay.
So 4 runs this week. We're going to grind here. Before we wrap up, I want to see if you had any questions for me that you were interested in knowing or.
Well, the one question, you know, you kind of answered already, you know, is if you were done with tennis or not, but sounds like you don't want to give that up quite just yet. So.
Yeah. You know, I have a dream about tennis almost every single night, and it's always about me playing, whether it was on the pro tour or in college tennis. I have the most reoccurring dream of being at UVA on the women's tennis team. I think because that was like the highlight of my tennis career. I loved it so much. I don't like the life of being like living out of my suitcase all the time, but I adore competing in tennis. If the tennis tour was in New York, I didn't have to travel all the time, being away from everyone, like 100%, I would still be playing now. But, and that's not to say I'm not going to play any more tournaments, because I know I will, but I don't know if I'll be back on the tour 100%, but
okay,
we'll see. I'm not ruling it out. I mean, I did beat Jamie. She'll kill me. Not that she listened.
Yeah,
but
she denied that happened.
She denied it. However, you know, the tape says I have it on tape. We had a rally and she missed before me. So, but if you're ever in New York, we definitely got to play. I'll let you know if I'm ever in Michigan, and we'll definitely play some tennis. Do you plan to come to New York for the US Open ever, or?
That's on my bucket list, yeah. You know. So 2019, I made it over to Toronto, which is just the WTA only 1000 event. That was a lot of fun. Last year, I took my first trip to Cincinnati. I loved Cincinnati. I think I liked the venue of Cincinnati a little bit more than Toronto. I know with COVID, you know, Canada shut its borders, so it was a little more difficult to get over there. And Toronto switches their event between the ATP and the women's event. You know, they rotate between Montreal and Toronto. So last year the women were in Montreal, the men were in Toronto. So planning on going to Cincinnati again this year. I keep talking. I want to go to the U.S. Open.
You gotta.
So I just got to figure out, yeah, when's the right time to do that. So, but.
Yeah, definitely have to check out the U.S. Open venue and the tournament. It's really a great time. And I do want to make it back to the Dow Jones Classic. That's what it's called, right?
Just the Dow Tennis Classic. No Jones in there. Dow Tennis Classic.
That was dumb.
That's all right. That's okay. It's all right. No problem. You could have called it. There's a lot of names you could have called it. They're a lot worse than that. You know.
Dow Jones has a stock. Spending too much time investing money in stocks. I have a tennis teammate, Danielle Collins, that is very into her investments and saving money, spending money, all that good stuff with the money. Do you follow her tennis? I'm sure you do.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I'm not a big fan of Danielle. I like about 95 to 97% of the tennis players, and there's just a handful that I would call like my brat pack that I just don't care for. You know, you get to experience that when you get to meet all the players, you know, when you worked at the Dow Tennis Classic,
oh,
you know,
yeah.
You know, like I said, 99% of them are just absolute sweethearts, very down to earth, very talkative, very chatty. And then there's the one or two who come in are just like, who are you? You know, don't talk to me.
I know.
I'm way above this, you know? So it's just, but yeah, it's just a little interesting that way.
And it's also it's interesting to see how some players, you know, they become meaner as they get better. The one player I know that like has stayed just like really nice and consistent despite doing really well, like Jessica Pegula. She's a really nice, down to earth, humble person, and her family is like huge. You know, they own the Buffalo Bills. Like,
yeah.
So it's like she has all the reason to be snobby, I guess, but she's actually still nice. Like, she still follows me on social media. Like, that's really nice. Oh, and I can say this, I've practiced with like all these girls. Jessica was by far the hardest person to play against. I mean, I've beaten Danielle like many times, whether it was like in tournaments or in practice. Jessica, I could barely win a point. I don't know what it is. She hits so flat and hard this far from the baseline. Like, she's, in my opinion, just like a tennis god.
Well, she's proved it, you know. Yeah. She's a top 10 player now, which is unbelievable.
Yeah, when I guess she, like, when she's on, like, it's so hard to touch, but like she does go through streaks where she can miss. So
sure.
So that is a wrap. Ben Dornboss, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It was really interesting hearing his perspective as, you know, a fan, someone that has been following a lot of different players and kind of like sees the difference between players that are on the nicer side and those that maybe become more snobby as they become better. And just hearing his perspective as someone that's not on the tour, I guess, was really cool and fascinating for me. So we'll definitely have to have Ben back because he was great. And yeah, so I just want to thank everyone for tuning in this week. As always, follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Jules L Baba, at JuelesElBaba. And I actually just started a new food account because I'm such a foodie. And if you'd like to see my food content, it's at Juju Eats on LI, which is Long Island. And I've been just loving my food content because, you know, you have to fuel up to run well. So that's my inspiration. And although a lot of the food is not good for fueling up, it's like cheesy mac and cheese and like sugary brownies and just every ice cream sundae possible. So yeah, not the best fuel for running, but you know, the heart wants what it wants. Anyways, guys, hope everyone has a great start to their week, and I will see you next time on Jules on the Hustle.
Every day I'm hustling, 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 every day I'm every day.